And now, it's Media One Radio Group's local public affairs radio program, Community Spotlight. We're asking the questions you want the answers to.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome to Community Spotlight, the Media One Radio Group's weekly public affairs program. I'm Terry Frank. Getting through a past weekend of torrential rain and flooding, preliminary work on the local American Rescue Plan Master Plan, and what's happening with the Underground Railroad tableau. All that this week with Jamestown Mayor Eddie Sundquist. Mayor, we're a little bit out of sync, not too bad, but I understand you had a fairly enjoyable vacation.
Yeah, they let me out a little bit, Terry, and I got a chance to turn off my phone and disconnect for, you know, at least a couple days. But excited to be back, and there's a lot of work to be done.
Absolutely. We started drying out on Sunday after about 2 days of torrential downpours and a very rainy July. How did the city and its facilities hold up over that weekend?
Well, as you and your listeners know, it has been very wet. When we have this much rain and the ground becomes saturated, we start to see flooded basements, we start to see water pooling on streets. All of those issues have occurred. So I know our firefighters were out there pumping a lot of basements. We were dealing with issues with the dam and the BPU being at really flood levels, working with the DEC on that. And as you asked about city facilities, there's obviously been a little bit of water, but we've been okay for the most part, and we'll continue to deal with that. But you know, what we're most concerned about is really our residents and how they're faring during these torrential downpours, which have finally cleared up, which was great.
Yeah, for sure. I do know the last time we had really torrential downpours and heavy sustained rains, we had trouble with the police department on the lower level and fire department lower level of Tracy Plaza. Have those issues been resolved? Is there still some work to be done?
You know, there's still some work to be done. You know, there's been a larger plan to renovate Tracy Plaza with several different phases. Phase one has occurred. However, there's multiple phases to help deal with some of the leakage that has occurred when there's lots of rain going on. So, yeah, we do still see a little bit of leakage in some of our departments. Not as bad as we saw a while back where we had to completely redo our police department and parts of our fire department. But we're working through that, and we're hoping to try to find ways to continue and complete the renovations for Tracy Plaza.
I wanted to shift gears to your administrative master plan on using the $28 million plus American Rescue Plan funding. Your administration has planned four public input sessions for that American Rescue Plan master plan, and one has already been held. There are three more. One of them is this weekend. Tell us what you're looking for from the public.
Well, Terry, I thought the master plan was just to write you a big check, right? Is that...
I wish.
Sure, your bank account
We all wish.
I'm sure your bank account would love $28 million, right?
Yeah.
So as you and your listeners know, the city has received or will receive about approximately $28 million under the American Rescue Plan Act. Half of that funding has already been received by the city. The other half will be received in a year from now. So one of the things that we wanted to be very clear with the public about is to create a master plan to utilize that funding. We really see this as a shot in the arm for the city. Unfortunately, it can't be used to fill holes in the city budget, can't be used to pay pensions, it can't be used to pay down debt. But it can be used to help and deal with projects related to COVID. It can be used to help the city really work through projects that we've just put on the back burner for a very long, long time. So we've created, and by we, I mean myself, my administration, our finance team, along with the finance committee for the city council, have put together a master plan that we are excited to present to the public. And as part of the plan, we'll be working with the Community Foundation to host four listening sessions throughout the city to talk about what money did we receive, when we're going to receive it, how do we spend that money, what are the categories we're looking to spend from, what are the agencies that approve the final projects, and to get feedback on what those projects should be. Now, I'll tell you that we as the city are way ahead of a lot of other municipalities in terms of putting together a plan, and we're very, very excited about it.
I know that there are some parks projects that were discussed at the most recent Jamestown City Council work session. What other types of projects are we talking about?
Well, of the $28 million, there are different categories that the law allows us to spend the money on. The first category is called lost revenue, and it's not as simple as saying we lost $100 in parking, we get $100 back. The Treasury Department has created a formula based on a growth model. When you follow that formula, it is money we can claim every year up until 2024. And as part of that, we estimate we can take from that funding about $10 million of our $28 million for lost revenue. Why is that important? Because lost revenue has very few restrictions on how that funding can be used and can be used directly for general services. So that means we can take that funding and apply it to parks expansion, right? We've talked about, as you mentioned, some sample projects. Things like putting in a disc golf course, putting in a dog park, a splash pad, expanding our rails and our trails program, right? Trying to do those things. We talked about putting funding into our firehouses that have been around for a very long time and need for a lot of renovations, right?
Right.
Especially during COVID, there's a lot of need for additional renovations.
I wanted to ask with regards to the public coming in, what sort of things should they be asking or what should they be giving you as far as input? What do you want from them?
So we're requesting input on a couple different things. Number one, we're going to present the full plan to the public and allow them to understand what we are planning on using the money for. We have and will accept feedback on the overall categories of the plan, the funding allocations, but what we're really looking for from the public, most importantly, is feedback on projects, right? And what other projects should we try to fund underneath these categories? Now, when we say categories, I always explain things as buckets, right? Mm-hmm. Especially with the rain coming down, it's easy to talk about how much you can put in a bucket, right? But more importantly, you know, we have these funding categories, these buckets that we can have different projects underneath to tap into that funding. And as long as they comply with the guidance provided by the U.S. Treasury Department and in accordance with the law, we can spend on those projects. So we have to track them. We've got to provide public accountability to those. But we are open to a lot of different projects. And as the public will learn, we're talking about spending funding on mental health and housing initiatives to increase neighborhood stabilization, to provide social workers for our police department on calls. We've been talking about creating additional housing programs to allow residents to tap into funding to repair their homes and help stabilize neighborhoods. We've been talking about renovations to fire departments. We've been talking about plans to redevelop the Shattuckoin River area. Right, to make those great spaces. All of these things are really important, and we're looking for feedback from the public. Maybe there are other projects that we haven't thought about, and now's the time we want to get that feedback.
I want to remind you, you're listening to Community Spotlight this week on the six Media One Radio Group stations. I'm Terry Frank. Jamestown Mayor Eddie Sundquist is my guest this week, and Eddie, we've got about 5 minutes left in the program. I did want to touch upon the subject of the Underground Railroad tableau, which has seen vandalism as well as one of the statues physically taken from the park back in the month of May. We know the investigation is ongoing regarding the vandalism of two statues with the anti-Semitic and other racial comments that were put on them. Where are things right now in particular in trying to find that statue that was taken, and what sort of efforts underway to possibly replace that if need be?
Well, Terry, we went decades with those statues being there and people being able to enjoy them and nothing happened. And now we are seeing really some of the worst things that we have seen for that Underground Railroad tableau. You know, there has been discussions internally about replacing it. It's been a priority for many of our city council members and for the city. you know, we're trying to work through the law enforcement process right now to see if we're able to locate the statue before we do that. However, the longer it gets, the harder it is to, you know, think about being able to actually find the statue. So there have been discussions. There's been conversations with the original folks that created the committee that funded that project. One of the major issues we have is the original sculptor of it is unfortunately no longer alive.
Right.
And so we now need to go out and find people that specialize in creating these types of sculptures.
Yeah.
A little bit harder than it was, you know, decades ago. But we're starting that process. We're looking at potential options. Nothing concrete as of yet. But as you had asked about it, I do want your listeners to know that it is on the forefront of our minds. Obviously, the first one to find the statue, and if we're not, how do we start to mobilize people to try to replace it?
One of the things that comes up every now and then when I'm talking with people about the situation with the stolen statue is, how are you able so quietly to take a 600 to 800 pound statue from a park, a city park? That question has come up. Any kind of response to that particular question? I'm sure you've gotten it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we've definitely gotten it. You know, one of the things is that was a unique opportunity because the statues had been removed for cleaning as part of a standard process. They were set back in with concrete and rebar. And what we have seen and noticed from the spot that someone most likely had driven a truck up to the park. Multiple people were probably involved, which we anticipate. Pulled the statue from the base, which was concrete that was setting, and probably put it up in a pickup truck and drove it away. You know, unfortunately, in that area, there really aren't a lot of cameras to see that. And the park is even though it's not really in the downtown core, it's a little bit off the downtown core, and it's fairly quiet in that area, especially after dark. So I wish I had an exact understanding of how it happened, but you know, we're doing the best we can, and our police department is doing the best they can to try to track it.
Well, I wanted to put out the invitation here because it's come up here at the radio station that if there's any kind of fundraising effort, we'd be more than happy to help out with that.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. Like I said, we're working through that. And if we're not able to locate it within the next couple weeks, we'll probably start moving towards that mode.
I did have one other item that I wanted to talk about because it's kind of a Parksies sort of thing. But Potter's Terrace kind of ran its course, and it's closed off at the moment. There's not really anything there. What sort of plans are in the future for that?
So Potter's Terrace in the downtown core,
right,
is actually not owned. It's not owned by the city.
Oh, okay.
It is owned by the Jamestown Renaissance Corporation. So there have been some discussions with the JRC on what to do with that location. And I think they're still working through that. I think the number one goal there was to stabilize it, as there used to be a building there that was kind of filled in and there was holes underneath. So they've started that step of stabilizing the ground, letting it set. And, you know, there's so much potential. Our staff has talked about the ability to do a beer garden, to do events. There's been discussion about pop-up shops in conjunction with, you know, the chamber and other businesses.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of ideas, and I think they're still working through that process right now. But we're hoping there could be some significant programming there. And the number one thing that we do want to do is make sure that we're able to find a new home and to relocate the AIDS memorial that was also there in that space. So they're working through that process, as well as thinking about how do we reprogram that new location.
Any thought about where the AIDS memorial would end up? Would it go back into Potter's Terrace? Or?
I think they're still working on some potential locations. So I don't have a location to give you right now, but we're hoping soon.
All right. Well, Jamestown Mayor Eddie Sundquist, we appreciate the time as always, and we'll see you in probably about 3 weeks or thereabouts. We'll try to get back on schedule here, and we'll talk with you again next month.
Look forward to it.
And that's been Community Spotlight for this week. I'm Terry Frank. Thank you very much for listening. We'll talk with you again next week at the same time.